Hello, everyone. Welcome to Time Out with Gladys and Ulla. I'm Gladys.
I'm Ulla, and welcome, everybody. We are so excited to have you here.
And we are going to be talking today about right. It's wrong. Yes. Ulla, what the fuck does this mean? Right? It's wrong.
Exactly as it should be.
Okay, let's break it down for everybody. I think we're starting to develop our own cryptic language and we get a big kick out of it, but no one else understands.
But we promise it's always fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much fun, you guys. This is a really good announcement that we are now being listened to in 11 countries. We have over 100 downloads. And Ulla, what's the biggest announcement of this week so far?
We ranked number 37 in Japan.
Woo, woo, woo. Thank you, everyone in Japan. And we're like in the top, 120 in Australia and then like a 250 of the US, which is amazing.
I know. We just started a month ago and we're already ranking in three countries. That's really, really amazing. So thank you, everyone, for listening.
All right. So we're doing something right. But it's all wrong, according to what you think. So, Ulla, tell us what we got in store for today.
Well, basically everything that we do in life, we do it because somebody told us that it's the right thing to do, right? It's whether it's our parents, our teachers, the politicians, and any kind of figure with power. We listen to these people and we do things the way they tell us to do because we think it's the right thing to do and it's the only right way to do things. But most of the time, like, is our heart really in it? Is your heart and your feelings really in it? Like, you feel like, okay, this is the right thing to do. A lot of times it's not. And then there's also so many different opinions, so many different voices, and everybody's ideas of right is different. And in turn, the right can turn into wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it might be a little confusing for folks, but stick with us, right?
Translating me, so.
Well, no, I love your description, but let's break it down for folks that are listening. Think about something that in your life that you do, right? Like maybe it's paying the bills every month, but you get taught that that's the right thing to do, right? Because you want to avoid a late fee, but your heart might not be into it. I know tax season is coming up. You might not be feeling excited to pay your taxes. Your heart's not in it. If you act from this place of not wanting to do this, but you're only doing it because it's right, energetically, what you're drawing to you is a lot of drudgery. You're inviting in more hardship versus, and I read this actually in Amanda Francis's book, Rich as Fuck. She knows that she has to pay taxes every year, right? Mm-hmm. She's making eight figures, but she is excited. Yeah. And so it feels in alignment with our heart's desires to want to pay her taxes because it's helping the economy, it's helping communities that she lives in, it's providing jobs for people, and that feels good to her. So this right, wait, what are you doing in your life because you've been told it's the right thing to do? And where do you actually feel misaligned with those things? So even if you make a list of the top three things that you're doing just because you're told to do it or because it's the responsible thing to do, but when you really check in with your heart and you gauge how into it you truly are, that's when you're going to find out where there's the wrong. So what does the wrong mean, Ulla? What are the consequences of doing things that we think are right but actually feel wrong to our heart?
Well, the consequence is that you're going to feel shitty. And the second is that you're just going to attract more of the same if you keep repeating those same negative thoughts and you keep repeating the same rights that actually feel very wrong to you. So you're just going to keep bringing more and more of that stuff into your life.
And that's where we end up feeling that life becomes hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, so let's use an example. I know last episode we talked about money, right? Because it's the one thing that everybody has to be in relationship to every single day. And let's connect it to our podcast, because I think how we develop our podcast is one of the most beautiful examples of right being wrong and then us doing it the right way for us. So I was actually just reflecting on this morning, honey, because I posted on Facebook an announcement to share that we've already been ranking in Apple Podcasts. And I know that there are a number of people in my audience that have started their own podcasts and they have spent months preparing and taking courses, paying money for coaching, making sure that they have the right microphone, the right systems, the right advertising plan, the right marketing formats for them. And then they go out there and they have to follow all these right ways of launching a podcast. But by the time they get ready to launch, they're exhausted, they're anxious, it feels hard. They start overlooking at the numbers. And if they don't get a lot of subscribers, they feel like all this effort wasn't worth it. This all starts with you acting from a place of doing things because you were told they were right to do versus looking for the next inspired action that actually feels in alignment with what excites you personally and what makes your heart light up as the right thing to do. So we'll share how our right came about, how our right method for our podcast happened.
So this is the idea itself is not more than about 6 months old, right? And we both had this idea at about the same time. We're both like, you know what? We need to do a podcast. And it just came to us. This idea just came to us. And we're like, do you know anything about podcasts? No. Okay, well, let's just do it. And without really thinking about it too much, we just kind of dove into it. We just dove into like, okay, what do we want to talk about? That was the first thing that we had to kind of figure out. Okay, so we're going to do a podcast, but what are we going to talk about? You kind of have to have a topic to do a podcast. And so, and this idea about time out came almost immediately, but like, what exactly is time out? That took some thinking. But at the same time, we were not reading blogs about podcasting. We were not reading blogs or following gurus about how to find your perfect topic or any of that. We were just kind of talking about it and like, what do you want to do next? And what does feel good? What do you think about this? And once we started laughing, like hysterically laughing at things, everything just fell into place. I mean, seriously, we are ranking number 37 in Japan in a month. No clue. We had absolutely no clue 6 months ago. What are we going to do and how are we going to do it?
And this is a perfect business model for everybody out there that truly wants to succeed in life. You got to make things stupid, easy, fun. And now backtrack a little bit, right? Several months prior to when we came up with this idea, Ula had approached me and said, I would like to work with you. I want to do something with you. We're meant to do something together, but I have no idea what it is. And me wanting to get into planning mode and research mode and brainstorming mode immediately felt not fun. I remember telling Ula, like, I think I'm going to ruin this, honey, because I feel like we need to be doing something. And you said it'll come to us, right? So we let it go. And then fast forward, all of this just magically happened. So the big takeaway from this example for everyone here is that if you look at your current life, how you got to where you're at right now, a lot of what has shaped your life is you doing things because you were told it's the right thing to do. So how do you do it differently? you have to be in a space of receiving. And this is a huge, huge component that Ula and I will continue to talk about in our episodes, is what does it mean to receive? In its simplest form, receiving is you letting go of that need to control, to find the answers, to fill in the gap when there is an unknown. And instead, really focus on your feelings, right? What is that feeling state that you want to be in? If you were to start a new business endeavor, if you were to have that love relationship that you want, if you were to live in your dream place in Mexico, right, how would it feel? And as the feeling grows, that is where your nervous system can chill out, your brain can stop trying to plan every detail. And that is actually when you open yourself up energetically to receiving cues, hints, or like in your case, Ula, like just straight downloads from the dead people on the other side saying, okay, this is going to be your title for your next podcast episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like this one was. Right. It's wrong. That was the title that was given to me. And it was like, okay, we're going to go with it.
So how do you walk somebody, Ula, through receiving? Because it's such a big part of really where we start, but it can almost sound just as abstract as do everything wrong.
Right. Absolutely. And then it sounds very strange for somebody who is very action oriented, who's used to just doing things and not really stopping and thinking and allowing things to happen. And a lot of people are in that planning mode, like you were in the beginning, that, okay, I'm going to stop planning and then I'm going to ruin this because I'm going to plan too much. So we have mentioned meditation and Gladys's beautiful reset remedy on our previous episodes. And I think we're going to continue talking about these till the cows come home. Because that is the first step that you have to start with. You have to start with allowing your mind to be quiet. Stop that chatter in your head, because then you are more in that vibration of receiving answers and receiving little cues of what's going to happen next. Now, once you start doing that, there's a very simple little exercise that you can do to actually see for yourself that we're not completely crazy and this works and this is how universe actually works. So you can make a list of three things, just three little things. They can be like a safety pin, a feather, let's say a red bird. And you make a list of those and you just make a mental check that this is what I want to see in my life. So you are not going to start asking the universe to receive $50 billion today, because you're not going to believe that. It's possible, but you know your belief system most likely isn't there that you're going to receive the whole freaking $50 billion today. So start small, very, very small things. And or you can even say things like, I want to see a sunshine shine through a glass on a table and form a rainbow, things like that. And once you start that, your belief system gets stronger and stronger. It's kind of like exercising your muscles. The more you do it, the more you see it, and easier it becomes for you to believe these things.
I remember this. So this is actually something that we've learned from Abraham Hicks, that these things. And if you want to test it, make them benign. Make them things that you have no attachment to. Because if it's things that you're desperately needing or wanting in your life, you already have built up so much energy around it that you're actually going to be blocking yourself from seeing it. Because you're like, I need to see it because I don't have it, because I don't have it. And then you're going to just make it go further away. So benign things, and then let it go. And the letting go part is, that's actually the receiving part of it. Uh-huh. So this is a practice. And you guys, I've I know when I first tried it, I was very specific about one thing. I think I wanted to see a blue feather. And I was living in Malibu at the time where I was living on like 250 acres in the mountains. And so every day I got to go on hikes and I would receive all these gifts from nature. Snake skin, rocks, feathers of all kind. And I'm like, whoa, I don't have a blue feather yet. So I want to add blue to it. But there was an energy of expectation around it with the blue feather. And that blue feather finally did show up, but it took several months because I came from a space of like, if this has to work, right? This is the right thing. It should work. Then I expect it to happen immediately. And when it didn't, then I was like, this doesn't work. This is wrong. But my heart was not open and kind of carefree about it. So let's zoom out because this is actually a big shift in how we live our life. We are inundated with messages all the time that we need to be in productive mode. We create lifestyles that are constantly demanding us to be busy, 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 jumping from one thing to the next. And the thought of receiving, which involves letting go and actually being in a state of ease, that's going to be your biggest hurdle. Because everything that you've been taught about how to live a productive life of contribution is wrong. That's the whole point. Everything that you've been taught about how to live your life is based on you being in a constant state of doing, not receiving. So I actually, honey, I wrote a 5-part series about this, you know, that my whole purpose is to rest. And rest for me is not being lazy. It's not that I'm sleeping all day. It's not about me getting 9 hours of sleep a night. I've been doing that since I was a girl. It's about constantly tending to my nervous system and allowing my nervous system a chance to uncoil from decades of constant stress, constant output, constant productivity, and managing crises. And now by creating a lifestyle of ease, my nervous system can finally like take that deep breath and be like, holy shit. Oh my God, I'm safe. Wow. I'm secure and I'm protected enough to be able to uncoil and I'm so loved. That is the reset remedy, you guys. Yeah. That's it right there. Right. And the more you allow that to be woven into your days, that's where you can change your lifestyle to one of receiving. And that's where you can then allow inspired action to take over. And like Ula said earlier, this is where laughter is a huge sign that you're doing it right, right, right? Eat flow. That's another sign that you're doing things right, right. Being able to feel that sense of expansiveness, like the, you know, where you get the butterflies, like, and I remember telling you this, honey, like, oh my God, watch, we are going to be number one in this category on Apple Podcasts. I knew it. And it was fun and playful. And we were giggling and we were laughing and we're like, of course we are. And then we had all these other beautiful ideas of what we were going to be doing together. And within weeks it happened.
Right. It's all out there. It's all out there and it's all available to every single one of us. We are just blocking it because we are so action motivated. And we think that you have to work hard because that's what we learn. We learn that the right way is to work hard and life is supposed to be hard. But that's wrong. It's just completely wrong.
You know what else is wrong, honey, is, you know, if we dig down several layers, a big reason that we get in our own way is because we don't believe that we deserve better, right? And that's something that really does tie back to, you know, what we most desire in our lives sometimes is a thing that we fear the most, right? Because what if you actually could create a business that was super fucking easy and fun, right? What if your life could be one where things flow effortlessly and you weren't constantly in crisis mode? What if you took a moment to realize that your life that you've had up until now was so fucking hard. And then you have to sit with that realization that you may have spent decades living life according to a right way that doesn't align with your heart's desires. And then you're going to feel like you wasted time, and then that's going to feel shitty. So you don't want to go there. It's a big deal to make this big life shift, but you don't have to work through all that bullshit stuff so much. Like, this simply can be as easy as trying that exercise of listing three things that you want to see: no attachment, playfulness, fun, ease, and then just being open to the signs coming to you.
Yeah. And once you get really good at this, once you get good at allowing your mind to quiet, you allow yourself to rest, that's when you realize that you don't have to feel guilty that you wasted all that time. You realize that it's fine. I did it that way because that was the way I knew then, but it's okay to change, and I can change, and I'm worthy of change, and I can choose differently today. And that's how it starts. It starts today. And you can make the wrongs right and rights wrong.
Now, honey, I know one thing that you've been mentioning is that, you know, when we're in a state of receiving, when we're in that state of rest and our mind is quieted, that's when we can receive guidance. That's when we can receive the answers. Who are we receiving them from?
The dead people.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about these dead people that are waiting to be able to assist us, because we are the ones getting in our own way. So tell us more, Ula.
So every single one of us, we have our loved ones who have passed on. We are receiving guidance from them. And most importantly, our own inner being, the source of your that's where you are receiving the guidance from. And there's a lot of people who call themselves channels. And I personally don't like that word, because channeling is something that every single one of us can do. We are all able to do that, but it requires you to quiet your mind and allow that guidance to come through. And it's again, you can call it whatever it is. It can be God. It can be your source. It can be, you know, it can be a grandmother. You can call on whoever you want. If you want to get guidance from Beethoven, you can call on Beethoven to come and talk to you.
So how do we know that they're talking to us? How do we actually listen clearly to what they have to say?
The first thing that is probably the hardest thing to learn is to trust, because there's so much chatter in our own head, and we're so used to having that chatter in going on day in and day out, that knowing when it's not coming from you, when it actually is a guidance, that's something that you have to learn, and it's not the easiest thing to learn, but you definitely can learn it. And once you learn it, then it's just a very strong knowing. There's no other word for it except knowing. You just know.
Okay. So the first thing that comes to mind is, yeah, but how, Ula? Like, how do I know that it's my voice or it's my loved one's voice? I'm thinking about folks that maybe have had somebody recent that passed over, and they're longing. They're longing for that connection. They're longing to hear that the loved one's voice. They want that reassurance, but they get nothing. How do we guide them to start to decipher and to know when that's all they're wanting is to receive this guidance?
Well, I think the three little things is a good way to start. You can say that, okay, my mom passed away recently. Mom, if you hear me, if you're here, show me XYZ, whatever it is. And then you have to let go of it. That's going to be the hardest part. You have to let go of the expectations that this is going to be exactly the way I asked for it. And if it doesn't happen in the next 5 minutes, then it's not real.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. So Now, Ula, you've crossed over, right? You died. You're still here. So you have the most clearest understanding and viewpoint and knowing, right? I want to share that for me, you know, I've longed to connect with my mom for several years. And actually, when she first died, I was the most open to connecting to her. I remember a couple of days after she passed, that was like the day after she passed, I heard her voice, and her voice actually had no gender attached to it. I heard her voice and I felt her hand on my shoulder. And then when I called to her, like responded back, "Mommy," that's when I felt her hand lift off. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was her spirit. And at her funeral, I was infused with her spirit. So I've had several moments. But one time in particular I want to share with you guys, I was living in Los Gatos at the time. This is when I was a president of the National Hispanic University. And this was the first time that I had actually lived in nature. And I loved it. I was in a beautiful little treehouse surrounded by nothing but trees. And that's where my nervous system was starting to uncoil a little bit as I was also managing huge crises. And one day I think I was cooking in the kitchen, and I often listen to music and dance when I'm cooking. And this song came on, and immediately my heart expanded. I couldn't stop thinking about my mother. And I said out loud, "Mommy, is that you?" And all of a sudden, the music started skipping. And I'm like, oh, like the first impulse was, oh my God, is that? But my brain immediately took mm-hmm. over and said, it's a bad internet connection. Right. And then the music started playing again normally. And I remember saying to myself, let's test this. And so I said, "Mommy, are you there?" Skip, 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 skip. And I said, "Oh my God." And then it was this allowing yourself to believe. That's what you're talking about, honey, right? Like mm-hmm. not getting in the way. I could have just said, "Oh, bad internet connection, fast forward to a new song." But I played with it. And as I played, "Mommy, this is you." Skip, skip, skip. "Oh my God, Mommy, it's you." Skip, 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 skip. "She's here. Oh my God, Mommy, this is..." And then, you know, I'm crying and everything. And then that was it, right? Like I knew it was my mother. And I think, honey, that's the simplicity of it. We wait for something a lot more profound and complex, but so simple. And a lot of times their guidance, their voices, I find, honey, are very subtle. Mm-hmm. It's not loud knocks on the head where you're going to hear this like strange voice. You hear voices all the time, very clearly. But sometimes for those of us that have a lot of mind chatter and we are so occupied living stressful lives that are in accordance with what we were told we should be doing to do things the right way, it's really fucking hard to get out of our own way and quiet the chatter enough to just hear the subtle voice, hear the gentle nudges, mm-hmm. see the reminders. And I think it's helpful to just, anytime you think of that person that's passed over, trust that that's them saying hello.
Yes. That is the simplest way. Whenever somebody comes to your mind, just know that that's them.
And that's the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue on this next week too, right? We're getting more into the live relationships, how those affect your receiving, and how we, you know, what do we do to ourselves, you know, in these relationships, and when we allow other people affect our opinions. There's another crazy, fun, stupid, fun, easy title. What was it?
What's the significance of that? Nothing.
Yes.
We give way too much value to what other people think. And this plagues many of us, and especially those people pleasers out there. You know, I'm one of them. You can relate. So next week's going to be super juicy. And for today, honey, what do you recommend for folks as their big takeaway to integrate what we talked about today?
Besides your reset remedy or meditation, whatever you want to do, in the future, we're going to be coming up with fun little meditations of our own. But as of now, we're going to do Gladys's beautiful reset remedy. And there's going to be a link to it on show notes. But I think the biggest takeaway for today would be the three little things and letting go of the expectation, how they need to show up. Make them, like Gladys said, make them very benign little things on your list, and then just wait for them to show up in your life. And again, trust and know that, yeah, it was you. It was you creating that. And the same way you can create the life you want and make it right.
So your mantra, you guys, make that list of three things that you want to see: stupid, easy, and fun. That is how you create a life that is right according to your heart's desires. And you stop doing things wrong just because you feel obligated to do what everybody else told you to do. Stupid, easy, fun, people. Let's make it a wonderful week.
Bye.